It's good to be with you this morning. My name's Cameron, and I'm one of the pastors on staff here this morning, and it's my delight and privilege to open God's Word this morning. But first, a story. It was 2004, and I remember the day clearly. It was April 13th. Excitement was ringing in the air. My friends and I, we've been looking forward to this day for a long time, and now it was here. You see, at this point, my friends and I, we were living in Calgary, and we were all from BC, and we were all Vancouver Canuck hockey fans. And so, living in Calgary, we were like foreigners in a strange land. But the day was here. The hockey playoffs were on. The hockey playoffs were about to begin. And so with anticipation and with excitement, we had our tickets to go to the game. Very exciting. Like 20-year-old males, we spent the day trying to figure out which outfit should I wear. Believe it or not, guys actually do this too sometimes. Which outfit do we wear to the big game? Do I wear my lucky t-shirt that I've had for 10 years, or do I wear this hockey jersey? And so we spent the day excited, picking out our outfits, and making big cardboard signs, "Go Canucks, go!" And the moment had come. It was time to take the public train and go to the hockey arena. And we were all excited, we were getting ready, we were waiting for the train. And as the train pulled up and the doors opened to go on the train, we noticed something different. Now, I had taken the train lots in Calgary. It was how I got around. I didn't have a vehicle. But this time, when the doors opened, we noticed that there was a lot of people wearing red on the train. You see, if you're a Canucks fan, you're wearing blue. But if you're a Calgary fan, you're wearing red. There was a lot of red on the train. And so we stepped onto the train. We had our little group, so we were feeling brave still. My one friend, he was the bold one in the group, and he said something like only a 20-year-old male can say. He said, "I was born ready. Let's go, guys." And so we got on the train amidst the Calgary Flames fan. And not long, we noticed that people were staring at us. And not just staring at us, but some looked like they might want to actually hurt us. And my mind began to race and wonder, you know, did we make a mistake, guys? Should we be doing this? Maybe we should just go back. Maybe we should just watch the hockey game on TV where it's safe, you know? But my friend, he kind of cheered us on and said, "No, guys, we got to do this." And so we went on the train, and we went to the Lion's Den, the home of our enemy and nemesis, the Calgary Flames. And we entered into the arena, and we entered into the hate of the Calgary Flames fans. We climbed up, we found our seats, and the game was on. The hockey game was on. There was a battle on the ice, and there was a battle in the stands. The players gave it their all, and us fans, we gave it our all. But we faced opposition. We faced taunts. We faced jeers. And I recall seeing several empty beer cups flying my way, dodging them. And it was in one moment that the empty cup was flying by that I thought, "Dear God, will I make it out alive? Will I ever survive this?" And you know, in that moment when the beer cup was flying by, I was trying to think, you know, was there anything my dad had told me to prepare me for life and these kind of moments when these things happen? And I was thinking, is there any advice my dad gave me? And I had random advice pop into my head. And I remember my dad saying things like, "Son, you can pick your nose, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family." And I thought, "Dad, that doesn't apply to this situation." Not at all. "Dad, what else did you tell me? What else did you tell me?" And I remembered, he once said, "Son, if you make your home with the Vancouver Canucks, not everybody is going to like you." And I thought, that's it, that's it. And so in the midst of the hate, in the midst of the Calgary Flames fan, I thought, you know what, it's okay. It's okay if they don't like us. One day, they will see the light. One day they'll see light. So here's the point I want to draw out this morning. Here's the point I want to get at. When you make your home with Jesus, when you go on that side of the team, I could call it, when you make your home with Jesus, not everyone is going to cheer for the same team as you. Not everyone is going to get it. And this morning, we're going to open up and look at a text that is found in John chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles here this morning, we're going to open up and look at John chapter 15, looking at verses 18 to 27. And I'll read it out loud. Jesus is talking about the hostility that will await his disciples. Verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have both hated me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. Verse 26, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will also testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a good, good Father. Lord, thank you for the lyrics of truth that we were singing this morning, that you're a good Father, that out of the darkness you shine. Lord, thank you that you call us to shine in the darkness, Lord. Pray that this message would be honoring to you. Pray that it would help people to see your truth this morning. Pray that your Spirit would dwell here to apply this message to our hearts, including my own. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we have been on a journey through the Gospel of John. It started with an invitation. Jesus was inviting his disciples, and Jesus was inviting us to come and see who Jesus was. Not only that, but Jesus started to talk about new life, the new life that he brings. From there, Jesus made several bold claims about who he is. Now we are in a section of the upper room where Jesus is preparing his disciples for what comes next. Jesus is about to leave his disciples. He is giving them the final advice. He is telling them what is coming next. And so last week, Pastor Keith, he began to unpack chapter 15, where we began to look at what it looks like to abide, to make our home with Jesus. And as we abide, our roots grow down deep into Jesus. And as our roots grow down deep, we bear fruit, fruit that the world can see. But sometimes there will be an opposing reaction when we make our home with Jesus. And so this morning, we want to look at that. Let's put verses 18 and 19 on the screen. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. You know, in these two verses, the writer of the Gospel of John, likely John the disciple, he uses the word world again and again and again. It's like he wants that idea to linger in our minds. And in this text, the word world is cosmos. And it has this idea of unbelievers who are hostile to God, or a world system that is set up in opposition to God. And Jesus is saying in these verses that the world, the people and systems in opposition to him, those who are in darkness and avoid the light, they have a strong resentment to Jesus and his message. They have rejected Jesus and his message of love. You see, Jesus, he had come on a mission of love. He was sent by God the Father on an errand of love to reveal to the world what God the Father was truly like, a God of love, who so loved all people, who so loved all creation, who so loved those who were set up in opposition to him, to show them the Heavenly Father, the good Father, the loving Father. And so Jesus came on a mission of love to show us the way, the truth, and the abundant life. But the system, the people in opposition to God, couldn't handle Jesus. They couldn't handle his truth claims. They couldn't handle his message of love. And so the world's reaction to Jesus was hate. And this idea of hate, it carries this notion of a fixed attitude, a permanent rejection. And so the people in opposition to God, it's like they have this idea that their way is the way, not Jesus' way. And so in John chapter 15, Jesus is pulling his disciples together and saying, guys, one more piece of important information. The way before you is difficult. Don't expect the red carpet. People are in opposition to me and my message. But you disciples, you cannot grow up in a home of hate. You must grow up in me, in love, in my home where there is love. And in that home, you can bear fruit. And into the darkness, we can shine. Big idea number one this morning, and that's this, is that you cannot grow up in a home of hate. And Jesus knew this. And so in John chapter 15, Jesus is unpacking this whole idea of abide, remain in me. Jesus uses the word abide. It has the idea of a place of dwelling, a place that we remain. Jesus is saying, remain in me, grow up in me. Jesus abides with the Father and invites us into that to do the same. And so when we are connected to Jesus, he is the living water. He is the true vine, the bread of life, so that we can bear fruit, fruit of love to the world. Jesus is saying, you cannot grow up in a home where there is hate. You must grow up in a home of love. Verse 19 says, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Jesus knows that you cannot grow up in the world. To be a full human being, to reach the wholeness, to have the healing that Jesus brings, we must grow up in the home of Jesus and not of the world. And so Jesus in John 15 is calling us to a different kind of life, a different kind of purpose with him, to be connected to the source of all life. Jesus says, don't plant your roots in the world. Don't go along with the ways of the world. Center your life on me. Orientate your life to me. In that home, there is love. In the world, you will find hate. Whoa. Powerful stuff. Now, here's the thing about putting Jesus at the center of your life, is that this is probably going to cause a reaction. There will probably be an opposite reaction that happens. Jesus says in verse 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. In other words, don't expect the red carpet on this journey. There's going to be seasons where there's ups and downs. So I was thinking, what are the reactions that we see today when we make our home with Jesus? What are the big things that the system or the world that is in opposition to God, where do they react? But let's personalize that. In your world, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your home, where might centering your life around Jesus cause a bit of a reaction? And I thought of a few quick ones. Let's put the first one up. Glory. So let's say in the workplace, along with your colleagues, maybe your colleagues are thinking, you know, if I do something, I get the credit. It's all for me. It's my achievement. But the way of Jesus, when we center our life around Jesus, we learn that the way of Jesus is different. It's a self-giving love. God the Father surrenders his Son into the world. Jesus follows the will of the Father to the cross. A self-giving love. Now, if you were asleep in the sermon, right up to this point, you're probably going to wake up when I put the next one on. Sexual orientation. What would Facebook say? Facebook would probably say, you are whatever you feel. LGBTQ, you are whatever you feel. But when we center our life on Jesus, Jesus would say, no, it's not about what you feel. It's your identity is in me. Your home is in me. You get to grow up into me. Don't center yourself around a struggle or something that's going on. Center your life on me. Let's look at the next one. Sex. For a lot of people, maybe young people too, the world would say, give it away. Be promiscuous. It doesn't really matter. But what does the Bible say? When we center our life on Jesus, we find that this is something to behold close. It's sacred. It's a blessing to be found in marriage. Let's look at the next one. Money. The world will say, I earned it. I keep it. It's mine. What would the way of Jesus say? Jesus would say, give it away. It's not yours anyway. Be over the top generous. And just a side note, if you're here this morning and you're thinking, maybe you're struggling with any of these, glory, sexual orientation, sex, money, I want you to know that this is a place where you are welcome. You are welcome to journey with us as we journey together. I'm a broken person. People who know me here, you know that. We're all on a journey towards the wholeness of Jesus. And so you're welcome here to journey with us. So summing this all up, here's my big idea number two this morning, and that's this. When you make your home with Jesus, you will cause a reaction. When you make your home with Jesus, you'll cause a reaction. You see, when we center our life on Jesus, the people around us should notice something is different about Cameron. Something is different about this person. And sometimes that might cause a reaction. But Jesus is saying, don't be surprised. So what do we do when we cause a reaction? What happens when we center our life around Jesus and in your neighborhood, you've caused a bit of reaction, or maybe with a coworker, you've caused a reaction? I think there's a few typical responses that we tend to fall into as Christians today. And so I was thinking of this, some typical responses that we sometimes fall into, maybe some ideas here. Let's put up the first one. Maybe you're facing opposition and you feel like it's an argument and man, I have to win with my colleague or with my family. I must debate and I must somehow convince them that man, centering your life around Jesus is good. But whoa, wait a minute. Jesus never called us to win an argument. He called us to win people. Let's look at the next one. We circle the wagons. Like me and my friends at the Canucks game, we circled the wagons. We stuck together to stay strong. Today, a temptation is that we stick together. We retreat from the world. We retreat into our circle. We retreat into our group to preserve our value, to preserve our way, to preserve our belief about Christianity. Could it be another trap? Let's look at one more. I think a lot of people face this one today, is when you're facing some opposition, it's like, well, the world is so strong. Culture is so strong. We can't beat them. Let's join them. Let's join the team. People of Mission Creek, with your life in Christ and your life in the world, do you fall into one of these? Do you fit somewhere in these? Have you been maybe trying to win every argument for Jesus, or circling the wagons and retreating too far, or just thinking, man, it's too hard, we're just gonna join them? If you fit into one of these this morning, Jesus is calling you to abide. Jesus is calling you to make your home with him. Grow up in a home of love, not one of hate. So, how should we respond when we're faced with opposition? When we grow up in that home of love and we're faced with opposition, how should we respond? How do we respond when the world's ways are different than our ways? What did God do? How did God respond? People of Mission Creek, do you remember John chapter 3? It's a famous verse. Let's put it up. Maybe I don't have that one, Paul. Well, there it is. For God so loved the people who are in opposition to him, the system that is set up against him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I love verse 17 too. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So, how do we do this? How do we act like Jesus in this? How do we make our home with Jesus and face the opposition from the world that sometimes happens? Two important things from our Bible passage today. First, in John chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus reminds us that no servant is greater than his master. Now, Jesus is preparing him, his disciples, saying, you know, if I faced opposition, you will too. But Jesus is also reminding us of John chapter 13, where Jesus washes his disciples' feet and says the same thing, no servant is greater than their master. And when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he took the position of the lowest household slave, the most unwanted job, and he washed the disciples' feet. But not only that, he washed the feet of Judas, who was about to betray him. And so one response is, we wash the feet of the world, just like Jesus did. To those who oppose us, we act like a humble servant. Second, let's look in the Bible text today at verses 26 and 27. John 15, verses 26 and 27. Let's see what this says, but how we should respond. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. See, John is speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who comes right from God. And when the Spirit comes, he comes as the true friend. See, the Greek word for Spirit here, it could be advocate, it could be attorney, it could be helper or encourager. This is our friend who comes to us from a loving Lord and a devoted Father. But not just that, the Spirit is a person who bears witness to Jesus. You see, the work of the Spirit is to be in the world and bearing witness to Jesus. The work of the Spirit alone can point people to Jesus. Earlier in John, it says, John 6, 44, no one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. The Father does his work by the Spirit. Good news! Great news! That work doesn't depend on us. God is already at work in the world. Did you get it? Did you get that? God is already at work in the world to draw people to him. In the world that rejected him, God is already at work through his Spirit to bring people to him. In our country, God is at work. In our city, God is at work. In your neighborhood, God is at work. In your home, the Spirit is at work. At your workplace, God is already at work. Great news. This work does not rely on us. As Christians, sometimes we think we have to take the flag of God. We have to march it ahead. We have to march it ahead, and then we have to plant it and say, God is here. No. God is already there. He's already at work. The Spirit is in the world. The Spirit is there. Good news. That work doesn't depend on us. But what is our part to play in that? If God is already at work in the world, then what do we do? The good news is that we get to join in the work that God is already doing. The more filled we are with the Holy Spirit, the more centered and at home we are in Jesus, the more in tune we are with God, the more we will have eyes to see where God is already at work. And we simply get to join in with him there and serve him. We simply get to join in the fun. Verse 27 speaks about testify. We get to testify to Jesus through our circumstances, through our hardships, through our words, through our deeds, and even through our suffering. So summing this up, how do we respond when the world is opposing us, when people are opposing us, and we've made our home with Jesus? We respond like God has showed us. We join in the work that he is already doing, and we get to wash the feet of the world around us. To close this morning, Jesus wants you to grow up in a home of love. And when you do this, you can truly be a light shining into your world. This week, I didn't really get to talk about it, but these verses really apply a lot to the persecuted church, the capital C church that's happening across the world. Many, many countries have persecuted believers in jail, physical persecution. Pray for the persecuted church this week. We're lucky to live in Canada in this time and phase of life where we have freedom. So this week, two applications. Pray and ask God, how can I take another step to making my home with you, Jesus? This week, pray and ask God, God, where are you at work in my neighborhood? Where are you at work in my workplace? And God, how can I join in that and join your work? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you've already gone before us to prepare the way, that we can simply join in with your Spirit who is at work in the lives of people around us, Lord. Thank you that we can be on mission. Give us eyes to see those opportunities, God, when you're prompting us. Help us to know when you are drawing near. And God, I pray too that we would be a church who grows deep in you, Jesus, that we would plant our roots in you, that we could bear fruit to the world, to point them back to you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.